certainly an exciting day for the Edmonton Oilers to acquire Duncan Keith.
Just felt like the Edmonton Oilers right now, it was a good fit, a great fit. Excited to start this new chapter of my career and try to win a cup in Edmonton.
It's always been my goal to be able to stay in Edmonton, and it's just what I've wanted. I've loved my time in Edmonton so far. The team is progressing the way we want it to, and I want to be a part of that. And obviously, the biggest reason I want to stay is I want to win at Edmonton.
Here's McCabe all the way, scores!
Welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast for this Wednesday, November 24th. It's game day, but we also have to recap last night's 4-1 loss to the Dallas Stars. Of course, I'm your host, Hernan Salas from TSN 1260, the Two Guys in a Goalie podcast. You can always connect with me on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. So let's tee up the podcast. In the third segment, we'll tee up today's game, obviously, from an Oilers perspective, and we'll hear some audio. Second segment, a few clips from Jose Romero from Arizona Sports. Tee us up on the Coyotes, who have won two straight now, and will look to make it three tonight against the Edmonton Oilers. We'll hear a few clips from Jose Romero, who joined the Lowdown Show on TSN 1260, so shout out to the Lowdown Show for the audio. And in the first segment, right now, we're going to break down what we saw last night in Dallas. And let's be honest, it wasn't a good effort by the Edmonton Oilers. They started okay, but then two quick power plays, and the fourth-ranked power play unit in the NHL struck at 10:59 and at 15:59. Hintz and Robertson, and they would take a 2-0 lead into the intermission, first intermission. Second period, Denis Gurianov he walked Tyson Barry. Let's call it how it is. He played that so poorly. Like, Gurianov was gone right away. Way even before he hit the blue line, he scores his third on a beauty, and then just about over a minute later, the Oilers get back in it. McLeod on a nice feed from Draisaitl, a nice finish from McLeod, his third on the season, who's playing really well right now. But the Oilers just didn't have the juice. And listen, we have to give credit to the Dallas Stars. I thought they were fantastic in this game. They locked it down, they got up early, and then they didn't really have push. They just kind of sat back, and Miro Heiskanen did a good job of McDavid. I thought they were able to roll four lines. They blocked a ton of shots. I think they blocked like 10. In the first period, they had active sticks. Their back checking was impeccable. They did a really good job. And so you have to give them credit 100%. But at the same side, Oilers weren't very good. They didn't have it. And I'll say this, the good from last night, Philip Broberg, he's looking legit. I mean, he's a ways to go for sure. But he was solid. I thought he made some good plays. He made some solid passes. On one of the power play goals, he had the chance to kind of like get it out of the zone. He just rimmed it around the boards. But not going to be too harsh on that. I mean, he didn't have a lot of time, and it is what it is. Ryan McLeod was the best forward. He's looking more and more confident, scored the goal, drove on one to the net, and something I hadn't seen from him at the NHL level, so good on him. And Skinner, I mean, a double deflection goal, a power play snipe, a breakaway, and then another deflection. Can you really put this one on Skinner? I thought he was solid. He made some big saves to keep it at 2-1, then at 2-0, then at 3-1. Like, he was keeping them in them, giving them a chance, but it just wasn't enough on the night. So I'm not going to be too harsh on Skinner on this night. I mean, he really had no chance on any of the goals. The team in front of him was absolute garbage. The bad, there is a lot. The PK for the first time this season, I'm going to say, yeah. I mean, and credit to Dallas again. You have to, sure. And you're going to have nights where you're going to give up power play goals. So you got to throw them in. They're slow, not a slow start, but the Oilers it's the eighth time in their last nine games they give up the first goal. You can't continue to play from behind. You are going to struggle. And it's going to add now, because my next bad is Keith got hurt. It was around mid, early second period. I think he only played over 10 minutes or something like that. Yeah, he was at 10:37. I'm assuming it's a back. It looked like a back injury. He was skating off gingerly. He tried it again, came back again. He skated off gingerly, did not return. We got message from the Oilers brass in the second intermission that he would not return. This is huge. Absolutely huge, but it's a risk with older players. Look at Mike Smith, just saying. We'll continue with the bad, then we'll get into all that. I thought Bush struggled mightily, playing higher up in the lineup. I know he has earlier, but he was with Darnell Nurse, and it's not good. He was not good on the night, and he took a lot of heat on the post-game show. And the Oilers have to work through the blocks and the checks, and they didn't do enough. They did not enough shots. Did they even test Jake Oettinger last night? Seriously, Did he have to make one big save? Not one. After the first period, Zach Hyman was the only forward with a shot. Late in the second period, Draisaitl McDavid had yet to register a shot. You know who led him in shots last night? Philip Broberg. Come on. And then in the third, he saw the line juggling come out. He saw Perlini get minutes with Draisaitl McDavid. He got multiple shifts with him. I know on social media, people were going crazy and saying Tippett's an idiot and he's the worst coach ever and blah, blah, blah. And listen, he was just trying something. I get it. I know Perlini hasn't done anything this season in the regular season, so I get the frustration too. So I'm kind of on the fence here. I get why Tippett's just trying to find a spark, see if he can get Perlini going. I don't know. The way this game was going, it's the Oilers weren't going to get back in it, at least from my perspective. McDavid's 17-game point streak is over, so he remains tied at number two with Henrik Zetterberg at 17 games to start a season. The point streak is over tonight, which is unfortunate, but he gets a chance to get back at it tomorrow. And we got to talk about the officiating. Listen, the Oilers didn't lose this game because of officiating. They just didn't have it. They didn't. They weren't going to win this game. And the Oilers' penalties were penalties. Fair enough. But in the second period, the refs missed three blatant, a high stick, a trip. And then I think Yamo took a shot in the face, like blatant penalties right in front of the ref, and they don't call it. So I get the frustration, but don't use that as an excuse why the Oilers lost. People, well, if they get a power play, they're back in the game. How do you know that? The way they were playing, who knows if they score? Yeah, they've done it before, and their power plays kind of saved them in certain games and got them out of trouble, sure. But on the night, maybe they get a goal. Sure, it depends if it was 1-0 and they get a power play and they tie it at 1. But down two goals, I just didn't see it. This team didn't have the juice. So I don't know if it was going to happen, but I get the frustration. But don't use that as the sole reason for why the Oilers lost. It was not, because if you watch that game, the Oilers' effort was not good enough. The refs are a joke. Let's call it how it is. NHL official. And this just isn't an Oilers problem. It's a league problem and a star in the league problem. So it's frustrating. And you saw Draisaitl take frustration penalties. That's what they were. Sometimes you want them to come out and rip the refs, but it's easier said when it's not your money. And I know these guys make a ton of it, but I mean, they're never going to do that. So we got to stop asking for it. And it's just, I don't know what the answer is. Like, the officials are the officials. They're not very good. They miss a ton. They're scared to give the Oilers power plays because they're dominant, or because Connor McDavid is so elite that he does things that other players can't do and they get punished for it. I don't know why that happened. And it's not every refereeing crew, but it's a big part of it, because we see a lot of missed calls. And we say Oilers because we watch them every game. So I get the frustration. I do. But if the Oilers get those calls, there's no guarantee they score on it, right? Just because of the way they were playing throughout this game. So that's all I'm saying. But yes, be frustrated. But that's not why the Oilers lost. It's a part of it. It's a part of it, but it's not the main reason why the Oilers lost. So what did you think of the game? Are you a little concerned? I threw this up on Twitter last night. So last week, the Oilers' left defenseman was Nurse, Keith, and Cook. Possibly, because we don't know, it's going to be Broberg, Russell, Lagesson. Holy smokes, what a change, eh? Nurse, Keith, Cuckoo out. Broberg, Russell, Lagesson. Things might get tough here. But this is what Lagesson's still fairly mid-20s. I mean, he's played a bit in the NHL, and then they're probably going to have to call someone else up depending on the Keith news. And we're hoping to get this later in the podcast so I can share it with you, like how much time, what the kind of injury is. So hopefully we get an update on that. But they're probably going to have to call up Nimalainen or Samarukov. And a lot of Oilers fans are going to get what they wanted. Hey, bring up all the young guys. We don't need these guys. We don't need that guy. All the older guys are not good enough. Well, for that crowd, now you're going to see what it's like to have a young decor. Now, you still have Russell, sure. Barry, sure. And CeCe, who's been really good this year. But Russell and Barry have to step it up. They definitely have to improve here. So, and be leaders. Broberg's good, but I mean, you're not going to put it all on him. And Lagesson is what he is. Stay-at-home guy that doesn't bring you not much offensively. And defensively, he's just okay at the NHL level. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting game in Arizona. Nothing's guaranteed. So, we'll see how they fare tonight. Should be interesting. We'll see if there's other lineup changes. I'll have all that in the third segment, as in the second segment. We will get to Jose Romero and get a beat on the Arizona Coyotes as of late. They've won two straight. Holy smokes, they're hot right now. So we'll see how this game goes tonight. But coming up next, we will hear from Jose Romero from Arizona Sports here on the Locked On Oilers podcast with Hernan Salas. This episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. One slice of pie has upwards of 300 calories, and that's on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar with plenty of protein. Replace the coconut cream pie with coconut Built Bar, or go for a raspberry Built Bar instead of the raspberry pie. Lots of good flavors to replace any pie. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, and high in protein. go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
Back here on the Locked On Oilers podcast, just ahead of some clips from Jose Romero, apologies for that, from the Arizona Republic, Arizona Sports. You can connect with him on Twitter at Romero Jose. And we just broke down what we saw last night. Wasn't a good effort by the Edmonton Oilers. Yes, the officials had an off night as well, but the Oilers have to be better tonight. And as I'm recording this, we're hoping for some update on Duncan Keith. Hopefully I have that by the end of the podcast. But let's look ahead to tonight's game. Oilers 13-5, 26 points, sit second in the Pacific. They coming off a loss last night. The Yotes are 4-13-2, 10 points, 8th in the Central. They've won 2 straight though, so you can't sleep on this team tonight, that's for sure. Power plays, Edmonton's first with 38.2%. PK drops to 6th as they gave up 2 yesterday. They're at 86.4%. And this is where the Oilers have to take advantage of the Yotes. Hopefully they get some calls. They're 29th on the power play at 14.6%. They're 30th on the PK at 68.9%. Shane Gaudisbear leads them in points with 14. Lawson Krause has 5 goals to lead him in that department. And Gaudisbear obviously leads them in assists with 12. Oilers, McDavid, Draisaitl continue lead the NHL and the Edmonton Oilers in points, goals, assists, whatever you want to call it. And you need a little bit more here. You need a little bit more from guys like Nugent Hopkins. Jesse Puljujärvi hasn't scored in a while. You need more from that third line, fourth line. Hopefully something comes from it. But we'll get to all the Oilers news in the third segment. And but let's learn a little bit more about the Coyotes. Let's start with this one. As of late, the Coyotes are playing much better hockey. So what's the reason for the turnaround as of late?
Well, I think you have to start with the goaltending. Scott Wedgwood is a guy they claimed off waivers, former Coyote. This is his second stint with the team. And, you know, just a guy who never really got a chance in New Jersey and gets picked up, comes to Arizona, and, you know, he's just doing everything and more in net and keeping them in games. He's got, the first 3 wins that they had were all his wins until the other night when they beat the Kings. So, and then the guy who was the number one because of injury and now is kind of number 2 behind Wedgwood is Karel Vezmelka. And Vezmelka he got the win the other night. So, you know, a couple of a veteran goaltender, a younger goaltender, both guys are the 2 that are setting the standard here in terms of keeping the team close and giving them a chance. And then after that, you have a defense that's kind of figured things out. There's a system that head coach Andre Tourigny wants to play, and it took some time for these guys to figure that out. It looks like it's coming around now, and you know, also Jacob Chychrun, who was the breakout performer last season, it looks like he's found his shot and he's producing on offense. So things are coming around. I think this is kind of what they were hoping for from the outset, but it just didn't happen.
Yeah, Scott Wedgwood looking, he's giving them a chance, and that's, I guess that's all you can ask for when it comes to the Arizona Coyotes, that their goaltending holds, because they don't got a lot of offense and they just don't have a lot there, period. So it's always going to be tough sledding night in and night out, but they are playing better as of late. One guy that's been pretty good this year for them is Lawson Krause. He has 5 goals on the season to lead them. Here is Jose Romero on how well Lawson Krause has played this year.
Yeah, you know, he's kind of going under the radar for a lot of his career because it's out here and, you know, this is not the biggest hockey community in the league. But, you know, he just needed, sometimes the guys, you know, guys just need a different administration, a different coach, maybe, not to knock Rick Tocchet, who was great. But, you know, with Krause, he just, for one reason or another, just didn't have the offensive feel last year. And he's got it this year. He came in with some purpose. He's taken on a little bit more of a leadership role with this team, even though, you know, in the past he's still a fairly quiet guy. But, you know, because he's been here for a while, you know, another year of experience in the organization has helped that. And he's just out there playing loose and free, and it's working for him. And also it helps to be a big guy. He can be physical. He can just kind of work his way in the system of Coach Tourigny, and it's working. You know, everybody believes in him, and he's believing in himself.
That's one guy the Oilers definitely will keep an eye on tonight. I don't think he's going to surprise anyone right now. He's been good on a team that's struggled mightily this season. A guy that was excellent last season, Jacob Chychrun, not so much this season. A lot on the plate. I mean, the team is not very good, and he's playing a lot. He's only got 5 points in 19 games. He's a minus 20. So what's the situation here with the Coyotes' number one defenseman?
Yeah, I think it's just a lot of bad luck. I mean, he's still shooting with regularity. He leads the team in ice time. It's just for one reason or another, the shot hasn't changed. I mean, it's still a bullet, and he still likes to take it from the point. And even working on the power play, you know, he'll get the puck on the power play and take his shot from deep. So, you know, he's doing everything he normally would do. It just hasn't gone in, and now it's starting, you know, that is coming around. He's getting assists. He's, you know, sending pucks on net, and guys are there in front to tip it in. And I don't think – he's really become such a team-first guy, and I think there is a little bit of his mentality, I think, is on taking on more of a leadership role. This team doesn't have a captain right now. There are three alternate captains, and he's one of them. So I do believe that, you know, Jacob is probably taking it upon himself to be more of a team leader. And with that, you know, you sacrifice some stats.
One last one here from Jose Romero, who covers the Coyotes for the Arizona Republic, Arizona Sports. Do the Coyotes have a good shot at winning tonight's game? Let's hear what he had to say.
Good shot is the right way to put it. I mean, Edmonton put a pretty solid 5-1 pounding on them at, you know, in Arizona. Back in October. So this is, I mean, we all know that the Oilers are a pretty high-powered team. It's for the Coyotes to somehow get a win out of this is going to take a whole lot. And they've been getting a lot. But I think with the team at this level, you know, this caliber of opponent is a little bit better than what they've been playing of late and beating. Always the challenge to play the Oilers. And you're going to have a lot of Canadian fans in the building as well. So that always helps the visiting team.
Right, that was Jose Romero joining the Lowdown Show on TSN 1260. Shout out to the Lowdown and TSN 1260 for the audio. Just learning a little bit more about this team. Of course, the Oilers already played them once this season. And Arizona started well that game. Keep that in mind. And then the Oilers just are just better. So they took over and were able to win that game back on, let's find it here, on October 21st. It was a 5-1 win. So yeah, definitely. That's good news for the Oilers. Hopefully they can bounce back that night. Connor McDavid had 3 points. Nuge had 3 points. Barry had 2 points. Zach Hyman had 2 points. So one of those games, and Mikko Koskinen stopped 27 of 28 shots back on October 21st. So Oilers fans are hoping for that same kind of result tonight. No lines coming from the Coyotes media on the social, so I'll just go what they had on Daily Faceoff. Take it with a grain of salt. Clayton Keller with Barron Hayden and Phil Kessel is your number one line. Lawson Krause with Travis Boyd and Alex Galchenyuk, your second line. Your third line, Antoine Roussel, Jan Jenik and Louis Erickson, and fourth line, Liam O'Brien, Ryan Dezingle, and Hudson Fashing. I mean, come, like, if the Oilers just dropped this one, holy smokes, the postgame show is going to be on fire! Defensively, Jacob Chychrun with Ilya Libushkin, Shane Gottesberger on the second pairing with former Edmonton Oil King Dyson Mayo, and Kyle Capobianco with Cam Dineen is your third pair, and look for Wedgwood to get the start. Last time it was Karel Vemelka starting against the Oilers, but like Jose Romero said, Wedgwood's been a big part of their recent success, so expect him to get the start tonight. Okay, coming up next, we're going to get to Dave Tippett. We do have some news on the Edmonton Oilers just coming down the pipe, so we'll get to all that as we continue to tee up Oilers and Coyotes here on the Locked On Oilers podcast with Hernan Salas. It's Thanksgiving, we all know what that means, football, and nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with the promo code Locked On to receive your bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, we're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. Last segment here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. How you doing out there? What's shaking? How pumped are you for the game tonight? I mean, can the Oilers be any worse? I mean, they could. I highly doubt it. They really need to get going. going quicker in games. They need to score that first goal. Koskinen and Kenlett in a softy one on the third, fourth, whatever shot it is. They really have to come together in that decor. I look at Barry and Russell, like, they really got to step it up here. You're the veteran guys. You just got to be better, plain and simple. So looking to those guys, it's got to be a group effort tonight because, yeah, the left side of the D has taken a hit and you got some youth now in the lineup, and that doesn't always lead to success. So the Oilers on paper, regardless of who's out, should beat this team, but there's a reason why you play the games because anything could happen. But I don't want to ruin the news, so let's just get to Dave Tippett as he met with the media down in Arizona, and he'll update you on the Keith injury, the challenge for the three left defensemen, the contrast in chasing the game versus scoring first. Perlini, we saw him play in that top six last night. A lot of fans did not like that. So what's he going to do with his lineup? Is he going to go back to normal or load the top six? And where will Lagesson play? He answered all those questions. So here is Dave Tippett.
Do you have an update on Duncan Keith?
Duncan Keith will miss tonight. He's day-to-day with an upper body injury. So it's William Lagesson will go in for him tonight.
Now, can you talk about the challenge for the three guys on the left side? You mentioned last night the three guys you had last week are not in the lineup now tonight. Talk about the challenge for those three young guys.
Well, they got to come in and do the job. Obviously, we got to play a real strong, simple game. Get pucks up out of our end. Get it through the neutral zone. And they're all... Broberg's come in and had a couple games and played pretty well. The other guys are their guys. Rusty's got lots of experience. Lagesson's got some experience last year, so it's not as if they don't know how to play in this league. We got to come in and see if we can stabilize our group back there and play accordingly and see if we can find a way to win.
Your team is a perfect 7-0 when scoring first, 6-5 when the opponent scores first, which is still a great record in this league. But what is the contrast between chasing the game and being able to play your game when you get the game's opening goal?
Well, it gives you some momentum, especially on the road. You know, if a team get a goal or two up, then the team that's chasing has to open up a little bit. And when you're in a tight game, you can just continue to play good structure, play sound, and find a way to win. So you start chasing the game, it's the game, you start to take too many chances. The game looks loose, and you're trying to get back in the game. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Leading up to the game, what is the solution in terms of not chasing the game right out of the gate? What is the solution? Can we pinpoint anything like that? Is it a deal of preparation?
It can be different things. It can be you need your goaltender to make a save. You got to stay out of the penalty box. There's some things that come into play that are factors that they take away the percentages of. Or they give the other team the better percentages of taking the lead. So you just got to be strong. You just got to get out and make sure you're solid, doing little things right early and get yourself going in the game.
Will you go back to your normal top six tonight, or are you going to load up McDavid with Draisaitl to start?
We'll see. It depends on some injury stuff that we're looking at right now, Jace. But Perlini is a guy, you see him in practice. He scores just about every shot. So you're looking for something to, we're looking for a break. We weren't getting anything around the net, not much happening in the offensive zone. So you're looking to try to find a shot that might go in, so we'll see. We've got two or three things we're looking at here for tonight yet.
Okay. And on the back end, will you just slide Lagesson? What are you going to do? Because I'm assuming you're probably not going to play him in key spot with Bouchard.
They'll continue to flip around as special teams and situational stuff goes. We've had Broberg with CC, which is, they've been okay. Russell and Barry have played quite a bit together, so we'll see how it goes here. Lagesson and Bush could be a pair, but you could see Bush move up and down the lineup also.
That was Dave Tippett, the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers. Yeah, so Keith is day-to-day with an upper body injury. Lagesson will draw in, so it'll be Broberg, Russell, and Lagesson on the left side of your defense. So, how are you going to go with this? Broberg, CC have played. They've been good. I don't think they've been great. You're probably going to keep Russell and Barry just because they've played together. And then, are you going to go with Lagesson and Bouchard? And you heard Tip there saying Bouchard might move up between those pairings, so it might be Bouchard with Russell for a bit, or Bouchard with Lashin. I guess it depends on the situation in the game, leading, losing, what's going on, special teams. So expect Bouchard maybe to get moved up and down a few pairings here, but I would stick with Broberg and CC as your, I guess, number one pairing. mean, that's just crazy for me to say right now. So we'll see how the D is handled. But Willie Lagesson at least has NHL experience. And remember last year, he was top four for a while with Adam Larson. So I'm not too worried about Lagesson. I'm just worried about them as a whole, all six guys. So we'll see how Tippett lines up his six guys. But that's the way I would go. CeCe Broberg, keep Bouchard with Lagesson and Barry and Russell. And you can always flip-flop Bouchard if need be, and depending on the game situation. Up front, he also said he's got about 2-3 injuries he's looking at. There might be some movement there. You heard Gregor ask, is he going to go back to the dynamic duo together or keep him separated? Perlini going to get another shot in the top six? Did he say that he snipes everything in practice? He just needs to find something in the games? Yeah, okay. But who would come out for you? I don't know. I mean, Perlini probably. Derek Ryan, Colton Sevier. The only guy I can you're not taking anyone out of the top six. Warren Fogle's not coming out. McLeod's not coming out. Cassian's not coming out. I wouldn't take out Derek Ryan, even though he's struggling, because he's a big part of the PK. So Perlini, Sevier, so we're just flip-flopping again, fourth line guys. Or is he shuffling the lines where we will see a Perlini maybe in the top six? Who the hell knows? He wouldn't give us much in his presser. He just said they're looking at 2-3 players with some small nicks and go from there. So we'll have to wait till the warm-ups to see what happens with the lineup for the Edmonton Oilers. All we do know, Mikko Koskinen is getting the start for your Edmonton Oilers. The Big Finn hasn't played in the last three games, as it's been kind of Stuart Skinner's net, who went 2-1 in his last three games. He's been really good. But Koskinen, he's been good as well. He's 9-2 record, 2.96 goals against. So that's getting a little bit high once again. And the save percentage is dropping as of late. He's at 9-10. So Mikko Koskinen has to be better. He's being pushed now by a younger guy. So I expect a solid performance. And just don't give up that week one. Please, 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 please. Prediction, I got to take the Oilers here. I took the Oilers to lose yesterday in overtime 3-2. So I was right on the loss. They didn't get that extra point. I think the Oilers win tonight. McDavid's 17 point streak came to an end, so I think he's going to be fired up. I think Leon was a little frustrated last night. I think he's going to be better. You need Nuge to start scoring here, man. I mean, for as hard as everybody is on Yamamoto has three more goals in him. So, yeah, I know Nuge does a lot of other things that are very important, but you have to score. You have to chip in, especially with the amount of minutes he gets and he plays in every situation. You can't be sitting at one goal on November 24th. That's just me. Maybe I'm wrong, but you need more from that guy as well. And Cassian needs a bounce back. I thought Cassian's been so in the last couple of games. But on the positive, Ryan McLeod's looking like the player we all thought he would be coming into camp. He's playing with some confidence, and hopefully he can keep that going. But I'm going to go with the Edmonton Oilers win this one. I think they're going to score a lot tonight. I'm going to go 6-2. 6-2 Edmonton Oilers. McDavid and Draisaitl, I think, get multiple points. I picked Jesse Puljujärvi to score yesterday. I'm not going to pick him tonight. I am going to pick... I just don't know if he's going to be in the lineup. I think someone on that fourth is due. So if Perlini does play, I'm going to say Perlini gets off the Chennai tonight. If he doesn't play, I'm going to say Fogle scores. Remember that goal he scored against Arizona in game one? That was a really nice goal. So if Perlini plays, I'm picking Perlini. If he's out of the lineup, my secondary choice is Warren Fogle, and it's a 6-2 win. What say you? Let me know on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. And yeah, what would you do with the D pairing? Did you like what I kind of threw out there? Is that kind of the only way you would go? And I'll say this, if there's a lot of lineup changes, I just can't wait to see the reaction. But Mikko and Ned, and we'll see if the Oilers can bounce back and get back in the win column here in their second game of their three-game road trip this week. That's going to do it here for this podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Shout out to Jose Romero for the clip. Shout out to the Edmonton Oilers for Dave Tippett. And yeah, it was a fun pod. A recap. Now we preview a game, and it's a late one, 8 o'clock start time. I'll be back on TSN 1260 with the post-game show with Tom Gazzola and former NHLer Matt Cassian. Hit me up on Twitter. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you'd like to see going forward on the podcast. I appreciate all the support, guys. The downloads have been amazing this whole season, so I had no complaints. And like I said, if I ever run into some of you, we'll have a beer or a soda pop, whatever is to your liking. On me. Don't forget to download and subscribe on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. For the Locked On Oilers podcast, I am Hernan, the man talking Los Petroleros. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll chat tomorrow.